This is Local Motion on KVNF. This program is a call-in show that was recorded live on Tuesday, March 31st. Next Tuesday, April 7th, we'll have a live call-in show again. Stay tuned to KVNF for more details. I'm Jody Peterson.
I'm Corey Stanton.
And tonight, we're hosting a live show with three guests and taking listener questions related to COVID-19. We are identifying our listeners on air with first names only. First, we'll speak with Robbie LaValle, Delta County Administrator, and Karen O'Brien, Delta County Public Health Director. In the second half of the program, our guest will be Katie Jurgensen, Media Relations Manager for Montrose County. First, we have Robbie LaValle, Delta County Administrator. Thank you very much for joining us tonight, Robbie. I'll go ahead and start with the questions. We have some questions that were submitted in advance through email. The first one comes from Bob. And the question is, with the COVID-19 crisis, local businesses have been negatively impacted, residents have been hurt financially, and our local health care system is under strain. Delta County has millions of dollars in reserves that, according to Commissioner Don Supas, is meant for use in times of emergency. The county recently declared a state of emergency for the COVID-19 epidemic. And so the first question around that is, where is the county's plan to address these health and economic issues? And what amount will be used from the reserve fund to do so, and how will that money be used?
Well, again, thanks for the question. We did want to remind all the listeners that there's a tremendous number of questions that we probably will not get to this evening, and we will be recording a town hall with the hospital and with the health department and with the county later this week, and so we will certainly take those questions that we do not get to and answer them in the recorded town hall. So going back to the question that was submitted, when we look at what Tabor provides for in the 2020 budget, then those are restricted funds strictly for emergencies, and that's about $525,000. And if we look at the reserve and the general fund, then we're looking at about 2.5. And again, that's why we have the reserve funds. There is numerous programs that is coming down from the federal and the state level, specifically for businesses. And then when you look at those specifics, it asks for local matches. And that's where the county will be investigating those areas of opportunities to help our local businesses with that match. Elise Ackerman Castleberry has set up the business side of our emergency response, and she's been in contact with over 200 businesses, and she's connecting them directly with the federal assistance, whether that be with the loan or the grant. So Delta County has been very engaged with our business community and is connecting them to resources.
Okay. Thank you, Robbie. And our next question is for Karen O'Brien, Delta County Public Health Director.
This question comes from Tara, one of our listeners. This was a question submitted in advance as well. How much testing is happening in Delta County? How can we know how many cases we have? How can we know we have so few cases unless testing is widespread? So the question is, how much testing is happening in Delta County?
Okay, so thank you for the question. We have, to date, I believe we have about 120 tests that we have completed, and we have one case identified. So there hasn't been, I wouldn't say that there's a lot of testing been done, and that's due to lack of resources. What happened was a lot of small counties, and this is throughout the country right now, a lot of the small counties that aren't reporting a lot of cases, the resources are being diverted to a lot of other larger counties. And therefore, it leaves us in a situation where we don't have the testing, the tests that we need to perform, and the PPE as well as the personal protective equipment. So we're sort of at a loss with that. But we also know that we're not denying that there are possible cases in this county, and we've set up a call center so people could call in, and so we could get a pulse of what's happening in the community. And we're also looking at coming out with a survey very similar to what Gunnison and Eagle County have done. with doing some online assessments to find out, you know, what kind of symptoms people are having. So we're looking at being able to launch this very soon. And I think the other thing about going back to the test kits is that the tests that are available are really are reserved for really high-risk individuals. And that would be for healthcare workers and, you know, that are exhibiting any type of symptoms and hospitalized patients. People over 65 with underlying conditions and healthcare workers and first responders. This is kind of a tier approach. So, you know, that's because of the shortage, the priority has to be, you know, set based on risk assessment.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Karen. And just one follow-up for that. Are there any pending cases or pending results?
I believe there's about 19 or 12 to 19. And the reporting has been a little bit challenging from the state health department. But I think that's about the number. I didn't check today and everything changes every day.
Right.
Okay. And the next question that we have is also for Karen, Karen O'Brien, Delta County Public Health Director, from Michelle. And Michelle asks, what steps are being taken to prepare for the potential of large numbers of confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the future? For instance, are there additional facilities that could be used for medical care?
Okay. Yeah, that's a really great question. And our Emergency Operations Center, we put into place with the county about 3 weeks ago. I believe this is our fourth week. And we have been working a lot on that. On the medical side, the hospital reported in a briefing that they had a surge capacity of 80-plus beds in their current site. PPE, personal protective equipment, is still in very short it's a high demand and short supply, but this is where we've been seeing a lot of community efforts taking place. We've seen professional seamstresses that are making gowns, and the Hotchkiss Fire Department's making face masks. And the other end of that is we are also looking at a alternative care site. We have several sites that we're exploring right now. That's on the medical side. The public health side, when there's large number of cases, the contact tracing that we do becomes very challenging because of the numbers. And it's really, it becomes more difficult to find out who that person had in contact with and then notify all of those. But we're not in that situation in Delta County because we haven't had many of those cases at this time.
And we just want to remind our KBNF listeners that you can call in with a question for Delta County. We're speaking with Robbie LaValle and Karen O'Brien from Delta County. And we have some questions that our listeners submitted before, but you can call in live right now at 970-527-4866 or 1-866-KBNF-NOW. We're speaking with Delta County now. We'll speak with Montrose County here in a bit. So please give us a call. And I think we have a couple more questions.
We do. We have another question from Michelle who wants to know if medical staff are being briefed on best medical practices from those who are already experiencing this epidemic firsthand.
Hi, this is Dr. Susan Bright. I'm the medical director for Delta County Public Health. I spoke with Sarah Knudsen, who's helping organize the efforts at the hospital, and she is absolutely aware of those efforts. There's been and the information that's come from those efforts in Seattle, as well as some of the early reports from China, and they have developed protocols already using that information and using information of best practices that's coming out of the Northeast, and keeping their providers up to date.
Okay, thank you. And we have another question about from Bob about the state of the current healthcare system's operational status. How many available beds in Delta County, available respirators, items such as masks and gloves, the general state of medical care providers? Does the hospital have the financial capacity to handle the crisis?
When we're dealing with specific questions related to the hospital, then we will get that question directly to the hospital, and we'll make that part of the discussion as far as the beds and that when we do the recorded town hall. We'll make sure they get those questions.
Okay, thank you. And another question from Bob. Does the county stand fully behind and support Governor Polis's stay-at-home order? Would there be areas in the order the county feels should be more relaxed or further restricted or otherwise changed?
Okay, so this is Karen in public health, and public health is all about prevention. So we totally do support the governor's stay-at-home order. We see this as a way to really stop the spread of this virus. And as far as, the real hope is that, you know, we could minimize the spread. And the county could not really make a more relaxed particular public health order, but we could make it more stringent. But at this point in time, with the amount of cases that we have in our county, just doesn't really warrant that. I have been in touch with law enforcement, and we believe that as far as the situation, we would provide education before enforcement. And we haven't, at the health department anyway, we haven't really received many complaints at all.
Okay. And one of our callers would like to know the number again for the call center that was mentioned. Can one of you give that again?
Yes, it's 874-2172.
Great. Thank you so much.
And could you just talk a little bit about what that call center is for and what people why people would call it?
So we set up the call center March 17th here, and we have a great group of volunteers. They've been running from 8 to 6 Monday through Saturday. They're averaging about 25 calls a day, and in addition, the health department has done a great job of providing protocol for those individuals to walk people who call in as far as screening for the for COVID. So we've got a combination. It's not only information, it's the screening, and then, of course, with the stay-at-home order, then there was several questions about that particular order. So it's a broad spectrum, but about 25 calls per day.
Great. And another question, this was submitted anonymously. What's the possibility that COVID-19 will mutate and come back in the fall like a seasonal flu virus?
Hi, this is Dr. Bright again. I think that's a great question, and there's probably a Nobel Prize in the answer. This is truly a novel coronavirus, and so we just don't know.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Bright. Thanks for joining the call.
And it looks like we maybe have time for one more question. And this one is also a medical question. Comes from Terry, who is wondering why more Colorado counties aren't using a self-reporting system such as Eagle County is using, in addition to confirmed test results to help track people with symptoms similar to COVID-19. Well, self-reporting might not be perfect, but this person wonders if that might be a kind of data collection that would help understand the potential spread in communities.
This is Dr. Bright again. I think it could be a great tool, and you know, we're working on trying to do something like that. Right now, we don't seem to have enough known cases that I doubt the utility of that right now, but we're working on it, and it hopefully something we can do in the future.
Okay, great.
All right. Well, I think that's unfortunately probably all the time that we have for our Delta County guests, and we really appreciate each of you, and thank you so much for joining us today. Yeah, so Dr. Bright, Robbie LaValle, and
Karen O'Brien, thank
Karen
you so
O'Brien.
Much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you're just tuning in, this is Local Motion on KVNF, and this call-in show was recorded live on Tuesday, March 31st.
We have Katie on the line from Montrose, Katie Jurgensen. Oh, we're getting there.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, we are doing a live show today with various local county representatives to talk about your questions about COVID-19. And our next guest will be Katie Jurgensen, who is the Media Relations Manager for Montrose County. And if you have COVID-19 related questions, you can call in at 866-KVNF now or 970-527-4866. Katie, are you there?
I am. How are you guys doing?
Oh, good.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it. Yeah. So
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So can you tell us, does Montrose County stand fully behind and support Governor Polis's stay-at-home order? Would there be areas in the order that the county thinks should be further restricted or changed?
No, not at all. The county fully stands behind Governor Polis's order. And in fact, we held a community update today and had encouraged people to stay at home as well.
Okay, great. And that question was from Bob. Some of these questions that people submitted, we've actually asking to both Delta County and Montrose County representatives because they basically apply to both counties.
I think it applies across the entire Western Slope, frankly. I mean, yeah. You know, we're a tight-knit region, I would say.
Mm-hmm, exactly, and becoming more so all the time.
Yes, indeed.
And Katie, this is Corey Stanton. I've been on the phone with you a bit and corresponding via email with you and your amazing team over in Montrose. And would you share with our listeners what resources are available as far as community resources are in Montrose County?
Sure. Our list is actually quite long, and forgive me, I'm going to actually reference a website here as well. So Montrose County, first and foremost, we want to take care of our community members. We know we have a lot of people who have been impacted potentially by, you know, job layoffs or loss of work due to the COVID-19 situation. Montrose County Human Services, those are our big departments, our SNAP and the public health portion of that WIC, they're all still up and operating. So we're encouraging people that should they find themselves in a difficult situation, whether it be needing assistance with food, housing, whatnot, to reach out to those folks. And all of that is on our website. We also have our public health line, and that number is staffed Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., excuse me. And that is a really great resource. So they can help connect you with wherever you need to go. Montrose itself as a community is incredibly caring and has a tremendous heart. I would say it's certainly the same across the entire Western Slope. We've got a team of volunteers that are assembling masks right now, and we're actually working with some local businesses to do that as well. A local, very generous donor, my understanding was that the donation was $10,000, and a company called Somm Footwear is putting their seamstresses to work making masks for our healthcare providers on the front lines and trying to keep all of them protected as well.
Wow.
One of my, this is a long answer, I promise I'll kind of get to the point here quickly. One of my county commissioners, Commissioner Sue Hansen, she and Phoebe Benzinger, a local community leader, have been leading a PPE drive that's been going pretty well and assisting with, you know, providing PPE again to those healthcare workers. But Commissioner Hansen has really been leading a lot of community groups and working with the city of Montrose, a lot of our nonprofits. They've got diaper drives set up. They have a list of community resources on the city of Montrose's website. So pretty much, I would say whatever you need to find can be found on there. It's incredibly helpful.
And Katie, can you give our listeners your Montrose website and the phone number for the call center?
Of course. So the call center is 970-252-4545. Montrose County's website is montrosecounty.net. And the city of Montrose is cityofmontrose.org.
Thank you.
And the city really is leading the charge on a lot of business-related things. So they've got all the links that you would need for Colorado Department of Labor and Employment. I know also that the city council is meeting shortly to discuss a business incentives package. Fingers crossed, it sounds like potentially that may be passed tonight as well.
Okay, great. Thanks, Katie. And we have another question from Michelle, who is asking more of a medical question. And I don't know if that's something that you're able to address tonight or not. But
I'll do my best.
Okay.
I got a few numbers from our update this afternoon in regard to the hospital and space and beds. So let's have it. Let's try.
All right. So there's a couple of different kind of medically related questions. One of them comes from Bob, who wants to know, with the COVID-19 crisis going on, what's the status of the healthcare system? Do you have information on available beds, respirators, masks and gloves? You know, does the Montrose Hospital have the financial capacity to handle this crisis?
Absolutely. So in regard to that, the hospital has been a great partner for us. Montrose County has been working very closely with Montrose Memorial Hospital. The hospital itself they've been meeting twice daily as part of their emergency operations center and interfacing and integrating with the counties as well. In the community update today, Mr. Larry Peters, and he is their MedSurg director, I believe, at the hospital, had indicated that they have set up and established a specific COVID-19 unit with MedSurg patients can accommodate up to and potentially. They're working on plans for over 30 beds, 30 patients, rather. They've also established a COVID ethics committee, and that committee specifically will be looking at criteria and best practices across the nation. We can circle back a little bit. Within that COVID unit, they've really kind of taken to heart a lot of the safety and cleanliness procedures. So they've added a one-way entrance and exit, which I think is pretty key and critical. For both of those reasons. In regard to overall bed space, they are continuing to look and improve that. In the ICU, he had mentioned earlier in the update today that they expanded from 8 to 14 patients with MedSurg capacity of anywhere up to and over 30 beds, or patients rather. So I hope that hopefully helps.
Great. Are there projections at this point of what might be the potential number of beds that would be needed as this epidemic peaks?
No projections locally as of this point. I know the state's been really committed to looking at creating additional ICU beds immediately. And yesterday, the state had released they were looking at up to adding an additional 5,000 beds statewide over the summer as well.
Great. And Katie, this is Corey again. I've been on a couple of the Montrose community calls, which have been really lovely to just hear people coming together and supporting each other. And in one of the calls, there were several groups or organizations that mentioned long term. And so I'm wondering what Montrose is doing for the long term effects of this coronavirus.
Sure. Like it sounds like if this information is accurate, 63 as of yesterday counties in the state of Colorado have declared emergency. Montrose County on the 18th of March also declared. And truly, that is looking long term. So the reason that we look at issuing any kind of disaster declaration is ultimately acknowledging that our local resources either may no longer be able to manage an emergency effectively, or we're looking ahead and seeing that we will have a significant strain, and wanting to make sure that we are looking ahead and being able to tap into any future state and or federal assistance that could be made available in response to COVID-19.
Okay. And I guess we've got about 5 minutes left, but we'll have to wind this up pretty quickly. But are there any other plans that the county is making or things that it's executing around COVID-19 that you would like to talk about that we haven't covered yet?
Well, I think testing. The county fully acknowledges and understands that testing is a real concern. So for individuals that are wondering, we did have a National Guard testing event here, last Monday. Last Monday, that would have been the 23rd, excuse me. Sorry, my days are kind of blending right now. The National Guard testing event, they tested 83 patients. I believe 8 of those were actually tested out of Delta County. We talk about that regional tie. We are today just beginning to get some of those results back. We have not issued our update for the evening, but we are going to show a huge spike in our negative cases, which is great news. But again, going back to that testing, I understand the state is doing their best, but Montrose County, ultimately, our goal is to help protect our residents. And one of the ways that we are doing that is we're working with a testing provider called GenPath, and they are guaranteeing results within 72 days. So the county purchased a number of tests from them, and we're administering and working with the hospital on these tests. But these results are coming back. Right now, our average is less than 48 hours. So we're trying to, amplify our testing resources so that we can get the results as quickly and ultimately hope move to make better decisions for our community.
And how many tests has Montrose County conducted in total, and how many cases?
Sure, let me pull that up. Sorry, it's not right in front. Okay, 286 tests, to my knowledge, have been administered, and 14 of those currently are positive cases.
Okay, and any pending?
Yes, you're getting my information a little early. We haven't sent our daily update, but I'll give it to you guys. 134 right now are pending, and 138 are negative.
Thanks, Katie.
No problem. That's a huge, again, that's really a huge uptick from our negative cases that I had reported yesterday. We are really urging people that if you are feeling sick, you know, don't question it. Don't test it. Find somebody to help you get your groceries. Do the necessary things, but stay home. Stay home because ultimately we are all in this together, and you can do your part by helping save lives and helping public health by staying home as well.
Yeah, thanks, Katie. And do you happen to have any information on how this COVID-19 epidemic is affecting operations at the Sheriff's Department and county law enforcement?
Yes. So Montrose County Sheriff's Office, earlier this week, had announced that following the governor's stay-at-home order, they will not be conducting random traffic stops to enforce the statewide stay-at-home order. They are, of course, adhering to any and all governor's mandates or orders. Like a lot of the law enforcement agencies, you know, they're looking to their PPE levels, making sure that they are prepared. They are limiting some of the contacts while still working to, you know, enforce and maintain public safety. In regard to the jail, that actually has seen a reduction of numbers overall in the jail, and that really truly is just working with our law enforcement partners that are providing inmates into the jail and figuring out what are the best solutions moving forward.
But that reduction in jail population is not because of early releases, correct?
That's accurate, yes.
Yeah, so it's just more fewer arrests and...
And looking at the overall numbers, and I'm not 100% positive on it, so I don't want to give you guys information that is inaccurate, but I know in the past that, for instance, they'll look at certain levels of alleged offenses and whether or not that is a jailable offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think across Colorado and probably across the entire nation, county jails are kind of operating that way of looking at ways to reduce population and reduce risk. I think we're about out of time. So, Katie, thank you so much. We appreciate your time. That was Katie Jurgensen, Media Relations Manager for Montrose County. And that concludes this episode of Local Motion, which was a conversation with Delta and Montrose County representatives about the COVID-19 response. This program is available at kvnf.org. Next Tuesday, April 7th at 6 p.m., we'll have another live call-in show with guests, and listeners can call in with their COVID-19 related questions or email them in advance to news@kvnf.org. Stay tuned to KVNF for more details. For KVNF, I'm Jody Peterson.
And I'm Corey Stanton. Thank you for listening.